So what's the first page that you have? Resh Ayin Zion. Oh, I tell you why. The reason why you have Resh Ayin Zion is because I wanted to do Resh Ayin Ches and I gave you the same page. But we're really up to Resh Ayin Ches. Yeah, Hal for Purim. Now this is a sugya on Daf Yudalid in Masechta Megillah, and the Gemara establishes that on every holiday we recite Hallel, and yet paradoxically there's no Hallel on Purim. And the Gemara wants to understand what is the mechanics over here. Now, in addition to that issue, there's another issue about what's called Sholim V'Darshim. And that's a Gemara at the very beginning of Masechta Megillah, if Shabbos coincides with Purim, specifically with Tesvav, because that could work out on our calendar, which means Purim for the Krachim, and there's no possibility of reading the Megillah on Purim in that case because of the Gzera Derava. And the Gemara establishes a principle called Sholim V'Darshim. Now, if you have page Resh Pei Beis, we'll start there and then we'll move backwards. You'll see Simon Chaf, what is it, Chaf Hei, and that's called Sholim V'Darshim. And the Rambam codifies this halach of Sholim V'Darshim in Perek Yud Gimel Mehilchas Tefillah. And he attributes this concept of Sholem Midarshim to a takon of none other than Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And he says, B'chol Moed, we have to read me in Yonel Shol Moed and Sholem Midarshim. Now the Vav of Visholem Midarshim is what we call a Vav HaMachalek. So we have two dimensions to takonis Moshe Rabbeinu regarding Moed. Number one is Kriya. We have to read from the Torah. And every moed requires a kriya binyano shel moed. And number two, there's sholim v'darshin binyano shel yom b'chol moed u'moed. However, the smag, which you'll see in the paragraph ulam, has a different opinion. And according to him, when Moshe Rabbeinu made this takana of sholim v'darshin, this takana would be fulfilled through kriyas haparsha. Because if you take a look, he says, Tana Rabbanon, Moshe Tikin Lavi Yisoshu Sholem V'Darshim Binyan Shal Yom Hilchas Pesach Pesach Hilchas Atzot Tzot 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 Chag V'Chag. Hilchach, in other words, how do we fulfill this? Korin B'chol Moed in Yana. So it means that the Kriya Sator Binyan Shal Parsha, Binyan Shal Yom, is itself the fulfillment of Takonis Moshe Rabbein. Which when you think about it, is a little bit odd on its own, because you can read the Parsha, but you don't really learn the Halachas. You know, Sholem V'Darshim means I raise my hand and I say, Rebbe, I have an issue. I have a chametz tikka oven that I want to use for Pesach. Tell me what I have to do. You're not going to find that in reading the parasha of Korban Pesach. But in any event, that's what the smag says. Now, this could answer, perhaps, the question of the Bach. The Bach in Or Chaim, Siman Tov Chav Tes, wants to know, why don't we have this minog of Sholem V'Darshim? And the Chok Yaakov says that we rely on the Smag. That the Smag says we can fulfill the Sholem V'Darshim through the Kriyas HaParsha. And we read that Parsha on Yontif, me and Yono Shel Yom. The Mishnah Brura actually quotes the Chok Yaakov, and he says, Be'emes Loshan Hilchas Pesach, Mashvil Chorah Halochas Mamish. You have to know what's allowed and what's not allowed. And the Rambam himself indicates that there are two different inyanim. One is Kriyas HaParsha, Minyan Shel Yom, and the other is Sholem V'Darshim. But nevertheless, the Smag says that you fulfill Sholem V'Darshim by reading the Parsha. Mm-hmm. Says the Chok Yaakov. Apparently, the minig was to rely on the Smag against the Rambam. We always have a principle in Halacha that minig Yisrael Torah, and if we find that the minig somehow contradicts Halacha, we have to figure out, how do we justify it? So, for example, there are many people who don't eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and that became a minhag amongst Chabad and other places. And the Aruch HaShulchan and others, they spend endless amount of time trying to justify that minna. You know, how do we reconcile that with halacha of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius, which means Sfeika D'Yoma? But there are many, many examples where we'll go into a very tight place in order to justify a minna, because Minhag Yisrael Torah. But if you really study the sugya itself, it's almost explicit against the smag. Because the Gemara on Daf Dalet says the following: Purim shechalios b'Shabbos sholim v'dorshim b'nyanu shel yom. So Tosis says the following: only on Shabbos do we have this mitzvah, this obligation of sholim v'dorshim. And why is that? What's lacking in this Purim that falls on Shabbos? Kriyas haMegillah. Lefisha ein karan haMegillah b'shum gzeira d'rabba. Amol b'chol, and a normal Purim that falls out on a weekday, ain't otzok. We don't need sholim v'darshim. Sherei koronis amigula, and the Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Peches codifies the halacha that if the 15th of Adar falls out on Shabbos, we don't read the Megillah, but rather we read the Megillah on Friday. Ubiyom haShabbos, what do we do on Shabbos itself? We take out two Sifrei Torah. The first Sifrei Torah is for the parasha of the week. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the second Sefer Torah, we read the parasha of Amalek in Peshalach. Mm-hmm. So it means that even though we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, nevertheless we read the parasha of Ayom Amalek. And the Mishnah says at the end of Masechet Megillah that B'Pesach Korin B'Parshas Moedo Shel Toras Konin B'Purim Vayom Amalek. And the Mishnah concludes by saying, "Shenemar vayedaber Moshe's Moadi Hashem al Bnei Yisrael mitzvasim shiu korin kol echad v'echad bizmano." Rashi amplifies this. He says, "Vayedaber Moshe's Moadi Hashem Bnei Yisrael akula masnisin koy." It refers to the whole Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah said, "Hilchos." I'm sorry, Parshas Amodos Shel Toras Kohanim and Bepurim vayovu Amalek, and on that was saying because of Vayedaber Moshe's Moadi Hashem. Lilamed mikan shemitzvah likros biyom amoed minyoni amoedos. So we see explicitly that the kriyas haparsha vayova amolik on Purim is because of the chova of kriyas haTorah v'parshas shemoed, and that's derived from the pasuk vayedaber Moshe esmoadi Hashem b'nei Yisrael. Now, according to the smag, we're talking about the very same chiyuv of sholim v'darshin binyano shel yom. Now, we're deriving the halacha of Sholem V'Darshim from the Pasuk Vayedaber Moshe Smaadi Hashem. Is Amai B'Purim Shechal Lios B'Shabbos Chayav Lios Sholem V'Darshim B'Nyon Shel Yom? The Gemara is trying to work it out that if Shabbos precludes the Megillah, then instead of Megillah we have Sholem V'Darshim B'Nyon Shel Yom. Why is that so? If on Shabbos we're going to read the Parsha of Vayovo Amalek, and according to the Smag, the reading of the parasha of Ayom Amalek is itself a fulfillment of the mitzvah of the takana of Moshe Rabbeinu of Sholem V'Darshim. Why do we set up this day of the overlap of Shabbos and Purim as a day of Sholem V'Darshim? Forget it. We already have the Mishnah at the end of Megillah that says B'Purim Vayom Amalek, and we've already fulfilled the requirement of Vayedaber Moshe Esmoadi Hashem. And if that be the case, then we don't have to have any requirement of Sholem V'Darshim. The proof here is that there are two halachas and two requirements. There's one requirement of Koronis HaParashim Minyan Shel Yom, and that's derived from Vayedaber Moshe Smaadi Hashem El Bnei Yisrael Mitzvasin Shu Koron Kol Echad V'Echad Bizmano, and that fulfillment on Purim is going to be through the reading of Vayom HaMolech. Then the Gemara says that since we don't read the Megillah, we have to be Sholem V'Darshim. So you see that Sholem V'Darshim is a separate category, a new chiyuv unto itself, independent of the reading of the parasha. According to the Smag, they're one and the same. How do I fulfill the requirement, the takana Moshe Ben of Sholem V'Darshim, by reading the parasha? So why are you telling me that on Shabbos that falls out of Purim, Sholem V'Darshim b'Hilchas Hayom? Why? There's no need for Sholem V'Darshim b'Nyan Shalom because we read the parasha of Amalek. That's a pella on the Tzarech Iyun. Okay, we'll read it inside. He says the last 10 lines in this paragraph. The Lefi Zed Tzarech Iyun. Bruchatu Adinu Eloheinu Melech HaShem Shakol Nehem Baruch.
Amai bepurim shechalios b'shabbos chayev lios shol v'dorish binyonos shol yo.
We already fulfilled that by reading the parasha. In this case, by Yovel Molek. And Tosus says that the reason why we have to be shol v'dorish binyonos shol yo is because we don't have the reading in the Megillah. Well, what does the reading of the Megillah have to do with this? You have a din of Kriya of the Parsha of Ayoma Molik, and according to the Smag, that itself is a fulfillment of Shol and Vidarshin. So then this has nothing to do with Megillah. This has to do with the reading of Inyon and Shal Yom, whether you have the Megillah, you don't have the Megillah. It's Purim, and Allah requires that you read the Parsha of Inyon and Shal Yom, and therefore you're going to read the parish of Amalek. Now you're telling me no, Shalom Vidarshan. We have another din of Shalom Vidarshan requirement to replace the Kriyas HaMegillah. Why do we need that? What is the meaning or the content of such a chiyuv if we've already fulfilled Shalom Vidarshan by reading the parish of Amalek? Now you know that the Gevurah Yitzchak is very much want to go back to the Masechta Sofrim. He's very medayik in the Masechta Sofrim. I think you've been with me when we've seen this Masechta Sofrim, so I'm going to just go through it very quickly. There are two paragraphs in Masechta Sofrim, Perek Yudal and Halacha Yudches and Halacha Yudtes, that seem to be, well, at least the second one is a repetition and it's superfluous. In the first paragraph, the Masechta Sofrim establishes that we have to read the Megillah both by day and by night. In the second paragraph, we have to read the Megillah by day, and the entire day is kosher l'kriyas HaMegillah. But you've already told me that I have to read the Megillah at night. By day. So why do you repeat a second time that I have to read the Megillah by day? It's totally superfluous. Secondly, in a very strange way, the Masechta Sofrim in Halacha Yudtes equates the reading of the Megillah by day with Kriyas HaTorah and Maftir B'Navi. There's some sort of a package deal here in which the Kriyas HaMegillah is integrated into the fabric of Kriyas HaTorah. What's this all about? So if you take a look on page Reish Pei Dalet, Dibar Maskel Vanireh, he derives a very sensational and fundamental conclusion from the Masechta Sofrim, that there are two requirements of Kriyas HaMegillah. Although at night there's only one requirement and one kiyum, but by day we have a second kiyum. That's why the Masechta Sofrim repeats in Halacha Yudtes that we have to read the Megillah by day, because the Masechta Sofrim is establishing a very unique and second kiyum of Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom that only applies to Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom. And what is that kiyum? Of Kriya of Torah Me'ein Me'inyano Shal Yom. So now, with regard to Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom, we now have a double kiyum in addition to the kiyum that applies equally at night, which is Pirsum HaNes. We now have an additional kiyum of Kriya by day, which is part and parcel of the fabric of Kriyas HaParsha Me'inyano Shal Yom. So if you ask me, when is the moment in time that you should be reading the Megillah by day? As far as the night is concerned, you have the whole night to do it. What do I care? But as far as the Kriya by day, I might have a Havamina to say that you should have to read the Megillah by day in the morning, early. After what? After the Kriya HaTorah. Why? Because Kriya HaMegillah and Kriya HaTorah integrate into one entity together with the Tefillah Shachris, and therefore, perhaps, there's no point to reading the Megillah later on and separating between Kriyas HaTorah and Kriyas HaMegillah. And that's what the Masechta Sofrim Kamash wants to tell you, that Kol Hayom Kosher L'Kriyas HaMegillah, which means that even though I've already told you that you have to read the Megillah by Yom HaLayla, but I want to tell you that there's another Kriyas HaMegillah which is part and parcel of Kriyas HaTorah, and it's Minyan Shel Yom, and that is an additional kiyum in Kriyas HaMegillah B'Yom, because Mitzvah's Kriyas HaParsha B'Torahs Kriyas HaMegillah B'Torahs Pirsumei Nisa, that you've already accomplished at night. Why do we add another Kriya by day? So Havamina, I could say in my Havamina that Kriya by day has a has a totally different purpose, and that's minyana, the Kriyas Torah minyana shel yom. If that be the case, it's got to be connected to the Kriyas HaTorah. Kamashmol and no, that although you have an additional element and dimension of kiyum Kriyas HaTorah minyana shel yom with Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom, but nevertheless, the yom is also necessary in order to achieve Pirsumei Nisa, and therefore kol yom kosher l'Kriyas HaMegillah. And that leads us to the paragraph Ella. And he says the following. Ella shakati tzorach iyun hare tnan b'sof megillah de purim korim parshas vayovam molik, and that's the chiyuv of kriya min yonah shalom. So why do I need mikra megillah as a kiyum of kriya min yonah shalom if I've already achieved that goal with the reading of amolik? Ulam bechol moed milvad shekorin b'torah min yonah shalom halo maftirim gam b'novi. That's also min yonah shalom. So we have a double kiyum. We have a kiyum of reading Torah shebichsav, and that's min yonah shalom. And now we have Torah shebichsav. I mean to say hamisha chum shei Torah. And now we have a kiyum of reading from the Navi min yonah shalom, and that's exactly what we do every Shabbos. Now, when we get to Purim, we read the parasha of Vayova Malik, and we have fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah min yonah shel yom, but we need a maftir. And in addition to the chiyuv of Kriyas HaParsha, we also have a chiyuv to read for the Navi. And mikevan shemulvad achiyuv likros b'torah chayiv lahaftir b'navi, is hachiyuv lahaftir b'navi min yonah shel yom, is how do we achieve that on Purim? And the answer is al yidei kriyas haMegillah. Megillah is part of Ksuvim, and therefore that reading of the Megillah becomes the vehicle to substitute or replace the Haftorah. And that's what the Masechta Sofrim says: Ukshem shekorim b'Torah umaftir b'Novi b'Yom kachayav b'Megillah lekrosa b'Yom. You have to read the Megillah by day. Well, what does he mean when he says Kishem shekorim b'Torah u'maftir b'Novi? Why does he feel compelled in the Masechta Sofrim to add maftir b'Novi? And the answer is because he wants to tell us that the Kriya Samegillah is not the Kriya of Torah, meaning of Chamisha Chum Shei Torah min Yonah Shel Yom, but rather Kriya of the Haftorah, which comes from Nach, and that's the kiyum of Megillah Bayom. Fascinating, no? That now it comes out that the Kriya of the Megillah by day is a replacement for the Haftorah. It's a Kriya min Yonah Shel Yom, and why do we need the Kriya min Yonah Shel Yom of Megillah if we already have the Kriya of Shel Yom of Amalek? The answer is Amalek is from Hamisha B'chumashay Torah. That's the parasha B'shalach. Now we have to read a parasha in Nach in order to fulfill a different min Yonah Shel Yom, namely Navi, or in this case from the Ksuvim. And that role, that achievement is going to be achieved by the implementation of Kriyas HaMegillah. Now at this point, I'd like to go back to the discussion about Halakha. And if you could turn back for a moment to page Resh Ayin Ches. Halakha B'Purim. So this is a sugya in Megillah Daf Yudalit. And you'll see that quoted in the last paragraph on the page, which says, V'hineh B'Megillah. And the Gemara tells us that there were 48 Nevi'im, 7 Nevi'os, and they didn't add anything to the Torah until they got to Mikra Megillah. And the Gemara asks, what was the basis for adding a mitzvah of Mikra Megillah? And Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha says they derived it from a Kal Vachomer from Avdus L'Cheres. That just like Bnei Yisrael, when they went out of Mitzrayim and their status as Avodim terminated, and they were liberated as servants, as slaves, they recited Shira, is Mimisa L'chaim in the case of Purim, which was L'hashmid L'arigladeh, how much more so do they have a requirement of saying Shira? So Gemara says, if that be the case, what about Hallel? Here there's a lot of ambiguity here, because what do you mean Hallel? In the case of Yitzis Mitzrayim, there was no Hallel, and if there was a Hallel, we don't know that it was the halal of the Shiras Hayam, because in fact the seventh day of Pesach does not have halal. I mean, we have a halal, that's a minute, but the real halal is only on the first day of Pesach.
Right.
So the Shagasari wants to suggest that maybe what the Gemara has in mind here is not the halal at the end of Pesach, but rather the halal at the beginning of Pesach, and we're commemorating the Yetziah Mi'avdus L'Cherus, and indeed we recite halal L'Dorei Doros based on that original halal. Now, the Rambam in Perek Gimel Hilchos Chanukah, when he codifies the halachas of halal, he writes Lo Tiknu Halal B'Purim. And the Gemara offers a number of different possible answers as to why there was no takon of halal B'Purim. One answer is because it was a nes b'chutz l'aretz. Another answer is because Akati Avdi Dachashverish Ninu, we don't have a full geula, and therefore we cannot recite halal. And the third answer is that we do have halal, but not in the form of halal as we know it, but rather kriyas hamigil, the kriyas zuyimul. The Rambam codifies that opinion in Hilchos Chanukah, and he writes Lo Tiknu B'Purim. Why is there no takon of halal on Purim? Shekriyas hamigila hi ha-halal. And that's the shita of Nachman in Megillah Daf Yudal. Now Rabos, it comes out that Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim really has two different aspects to it, but not the two different aspects that we spoke about before, meaning that the Kriya B'Yom is also a Kriya Me'ein in Yonah Shel Yom, like the Parsha, except now it's the Navi, as we said before, Saf Torah, but rather it's an additional Kiyum of Halal. So we have two Kiyumim in Megillah. Number one is Pirsum HaNes, and number two is Halal. Once again, this would be a fundamental difference between the Kriyas HaMegillah B'Laila and the Kriyas HaMegillah B'Yom, because Halal is required when? B'Yom, only B'Yom. And this might justify the minhag of the Ashkenazim, which the Rambam codifies, and that is that we recite Shechiyonu not only on the Kriya by night, but also on the Kriya by day. And the reason for that is because we now have a new dimension to Kriya by day, and that is Halal, that the Kriya by day is Halal. And the Meiri, in fact, says that if you don't have a Megillah, if we paskin and assume we do, like Rav Nachman, that Kriyas Zui Hilula, that the Kriyas HaMegillah is a substitute for Halil. We don't have Kriyas HaMegillah because we can't get access to a Megillah. We have to say Halil. And the amazing thing is that the Shulchan Aruch, although he doesn't codify, but the Mishnah Berurah codifies this halacha in his Bir Halacha, that the Shita of the Meiri is that if you don't have a Megillah, then you have to recite Halil. However, the Birkei Yosef of the Chidah, he says, but the Rambam tells us, Lo Tiknu Halil B'Purim. So again, although the reason in the background, says the Rambam, is because you have Kriyas HaMegillah, but at the end of the day, Lo Tiknu Halil B'Purim. And the Birkei Yosef understands that what the Rambam is telling us is Lo Tiknu Halil B'Purim, that there is no such thing as Halil on Purim. They never made such a takana. And therefore, even if the circumstances arise where logically we should say that this halal, because he doesn't have a Megillah, nevertheless, Lo Tiknu Halal Bipur. So on page Reish Ayin Tes, the Mechaber here asks two questions. The first question is, this is very strange. Rashi says that the Kal V'Chomer of the Gemara is based on Shiras Hayam at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. And that we know took place on the seventh day of Pesach. On that day we don't have any halal because the Braisa and Masechta Erchin on Daf Yudim and Beis has an enumerated list of the days and the occasions on which we recite halal, and Leil Shvi, or I should say Yom Shvi, the day of Kriyas Yamsuf, is not on the list. And now we're deriving a Kal V'Chomer from the Shira Al Hayam that we should certainly be reciting Shira on Purim. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You know, Mimakom Shabbos. You know, Dailavav and Adin Lios Ginod. In the case of Avdus L'Cherus, there is no Halal. We don't have Halal on Shvi Shel Pesach.
And now you're going to tell me that we should establish challah on Purim because it's mimisa l'chaim with a kolshkin. And the second question is oz tzarech biur, because the Braisa in Masechta Erech and Daf Yudim and base quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadik, who says that there are 18 days in which we complete the halel. Chanukah is amongst is 8 out of the 18. And the Gemara asks, well, wait a minute. Chanukah doesn't have any of the requirements that would generate Hallel, because those requirements are that it has to be a day of Yisur Malacha, it's got to be a day of Karban. All this is lacking on Chanukah. So Gemara answers, Mishum Nisa. Because of the great miracle that transpired on Chanukah. So there are two categories of Hallel. There's Hallel on a day that is sanctified with Yisur Malacha and a separate Karban. There are days where we're just commemorating a miracle, even though there's no Kedushas Hayom and there's no Karban. The Gemara then goes ahead and says, Bipurim de'ika nisa lema. So if your logic is that on Chanukah we recite Hallel because of the Nes, then we should also recite Hallel on Purim because of the Nes. And that's where Rav Nachman is quoted, Kriyasa Zui Hilula. So it's very interesting. The Gemara in Erechin wants to establish Hallel on Purim with an equation to Chanukah, that just like on Chanukah because of the Nes we recite Hallel, so too on Purim because of the Nes we should recite Hallel. The Gemara in Megillah says something totally different. Why should we be reciting Hallel on Purim? And the answer is because of the Kal V'Chomer. Well, what is it? Is it the Kal V'Chomer or the equation to Chanukah? Two different sugyas that seem to be going in two different directions. So in order to answer these questions, we need the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav is going to establish that there are two different categories of challah, and they're fundamentally different one from the other. Now, in order to appreciate the radical revolution of the Brisker Rav, which is based on a Ran in Arvei Pesachim, we start with a very strange Rambam. The Rambam says that a woman cannot read Hallel on behalf of a man. Now he mentions a katan, that's okay. A katan is a la bar chiyuva. But a woman, l'chora, is a bar chiyuva. Why would I say the woman is obligated in Hallel? For example, on Chanukah. Exactly. Afein hoyu b'osan nes. In fact, Tosus in Masechta Sukkah derives from the Afein Hoyu Bosa Nes that on Leil Pesach women are obligated in Hallel because they were part of the Nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim. If we apply that to Chanukah, then we should come to the conclusion that women are obligated in Hallel on Chanukah. And if that be the case, why does the Rambam say that a woman who reads the Hallel is not Motzi a man? And we're up to Vadnira on the top left, and he says the following. That Chanukah, the Gemara says in Erechin, is Chayav, despite the fact that it doesn't have Kiddush Sayom with the Nisa Malacha, it doesn't have a Karbon, Mishum Nisa. That's the Gemara's language, Mishum Nisa. So the Mechaber here wants to raise the following Chakir. What does the Gemara mean when it says Mishum Nisa? There are two ways of going. One way is to say that the Gemara intends to break new ground, meaning that it's a whole new fundamental Mechayav in the category of Nes, and we should not equate the Chiyuv Hallel on the 8 days of Chanukah with the Chiyuv Hallel on Yontif. Those are two separate categories, never the twain shall overlap, because in the case of Chanukah we're talking about Nes. Or there's another way of interpreting the Gemara, that the reason why we say Hallel on Chanukah is because Hallel is endowed, I'm sorry, because Chanukah is endowed with the status of what? Of a Yontif. The Nes is only telling me why we establish the days of Chanukah as days of Yontif.
And to prove it, this second interpretation, let's go back to the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara has the famous Brisa of Mai Chanukah, and at the end of the Brisa, it says Lashon Acheres Kovim V'Asum Yomim Tovim B'Halel. Rashi says that Yomim Tovim B'Halel means that they did not establish the days of Chanukah as Yontif Le'inyan Yisr Malacha, but rather Likros Sahalel. So it means that the reason why we read Halel on Chanukah is because Chanukah is a Yontif. And now we have two categories of Halel, but they're both because of Yontif. We have a Yontif that's endowed with Kedushas Hayom, Yisr Malacha, and Kli of Karbon, and then we have a Yontif that's Mishum Nes, that because of the miracle, we established it as a Yontif, and that's exactly what the Chachamim did in the case of Chanukah. Ah, if at the end of the day, what we're saying is that Halel on Chanukah is because it's a Yontif, then that makes it into a Mitzvah Seishasman Groma. So if you'll ask me, how could the Rambam tell me that a woman who reads Halel on behalf of a man on Chanukah cannot be motzi him, after all, Af Ein Hayu Bosan Nes? The answer is that Af Ein Hayu Bosan Nes is only relevant when you're talking about Pirsumei Nisa and the like. But Af Ein Hayu Bosan Nes is not going to help you in a case of Mitzvah Seishas Man Groma like Halel on a Moed, on a Yontif. So women are exempt from Halel on Yontif. The Rambam went a step further and said women are exempt from Halel on Chanukah. Why is that so? Because Chanukah, like any other Moed, is Yontif itself generates the Chi of Halel. Women are not obligated to Mitzvah Seishas Man Groma. Hence a woman cannot read Halel on behalf of a man. Trabo said, do you hear the chiddush? We thought when we read the Gemara in Erchin that the chiyuv of Halel on Chanukah is because of the Nes. And therefore there was no reason to justify the Rambam's conclusion that a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of Halel on Chanukah. But now what we're saying is that when the Gemara in Erchin said Mishum Nisa, the Gemara is only explaining the yisod, the shoresh of why Chanukah was endowed by the Chachamim with the status of a yontif. And the answer is because of the Nes. But once having endowed Chanukah with the status of Yontif, then Chanukah, no less than any other Yontif, requires Halel. And if that be the case, women are exempt, because women are exempt from Halel. Ah, you'll tell me, Af Ein Hayu Bosan Nes. The answer is that Af Ein Hayu Bosan Nes is not enough to generate a chiyuv on ladies to say Halel, because the Halel on Chanukah is not because of the Nes. The Halel on Chanukah is because Chanukah has been endowed with the status of Yontif. So we're talking about the time between Chaf Hei Kislev and 8 days later. And now we're ready for the Briskara. Says the Briskara, if you take a look at the Ran in Arvei Psachim, who quotes Rav Hai Goen, he's talking about the Halel of Leil Pesach. And why is it that Halel on Leil Pesach does not require a bracha? And the Gaon gave the following answer, that Ein mevarchim al Halel b'Leil Pesachim ligmar sahal she'ein anu korin osa b'toras korin. The next word I think should be Ella. Do you have Asa? Yeah, you have to have Asa because it's a photo. It should be Ella if you want to just make that correction. Ella B'Toras Omer Shira. There are two categories of Halel, and then Afkamina is going to be whether or not we read the complete Halel with a bracha. One category is called Kriyas Halel. That's called B'Toras Korin. The other Halel is B'Toras Omer Shira. And the difference is that when you're talking about Omer Shira, there's no bracha. When you're talking about Halel, then at Halas Kriya, then you're talking about with a bracha. So somebody asked me about Yom Ha'atzma'ut. So I'm not sure whether or not Yom Ha'atzma'ut fits the bill of Halel B'Toras Kriya, but it might fill the bill of Halel B'Toras Shira, but then you're going to have to omit the bracha. He says, Harei, the last two lines, and I would highlight these last two lines, because really this is the major breakthrough.
He says, "Hare the halel trade dine isnu be." The yesh hal sha'omer moso b'toras shira. Just that such a hal doesn't deserve a bracha. The od. And then there's a special din of kriyas ha'halel on Yud Ches Yomim on the 18 days. What do you say, Lenny?
It doesn't deserve a bracha.
I need the first word in your sentence. What doesn't deserve
it? It doesn't deserve a bracha.
In other words, in order to get a bracha, you need a formal structure. You need a maisa mitzvah that has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
This is spontaneous.
Correct. This is spontaneous. This is an outburst of expression of the simcha, of the appreciation that we have to God, and we praise God. It happens to be that we read the same chapters in Tehillim in both cases, because those are the most beautiful expressions of praise to God. But we're not doing it in the case of Leil Pesach as Kriya. We're doing it as Shira. And if we do it as Shira, we don't add a bracha, because the bracha has to be on a davar katzav that has a beginning and an end. In this case, it's Shira. Shira is not Kriya. Kriya means read from here to here. And that requires a bracha because you have an entity. But we don't make a bracha on something that's kind of endless or amorphous. Like the Gemara has a habmin in Masechta Brachos that we should be reciting every day a bracha after we finish Torah.
After we finish
learning Torah. You know, so you finish for the day, make a bracha. Why? Because after you eat, you make a bracha. And if the Torah requires on Sviya of Chaya Olam, then how much more so on Sviya of Chaya Olam Abba? So the answer to the Gemara is that it's a Dovah Shein Lo Kitzvah, meaning you finish a meal, finito. You finish the meal. But in the case of Torah, you never finished. You're always obligated in Torah. It's an ongoing, endless mitzvah. So therefore, it doesn't get a bracha. We see that a bracha is only shaykh to something that's katsuf. Katsuf means it's a kriya, like kriya's halal.
It's contained.
Clearly.
Contained, self-defined. It's a framework. It has a beginning and it has an end. That's why I think I mentioned this, maybe not here, but elsewhere, that the reason why we make a bracha after Kriyas HaTorah, where we read it publicly, is because that's a Dover Katsuf. You know, the Halacha and the Minhagim and the Takanas of Chazal will define the beginning and the end. So if it has a well-defined, confined structure, then you make a bracha. Because again, if we make a bracha after we eat, and we were Soveya, then how much more so if we finish Torah, we should be making a bracha. The only problem is it's not a Dover Katsuf. Lu Yitzur, if I came up with a learning of Torah that was katsuv, it would require bracha afterwards.
Don't you make a bracha halal erev Pesach?
Well, it depends. There are different minhagim about halal and leil Pesach. Everybody agrees that there's halal in the Seder, you know, integrate into the fabric of Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim. But as far as a separate chiyuv halal, that's totally b'minog. There are those who have the minog, and this is very common amongst the Nusach Sfarad, also the Sfaradim and Chassidim. They recite a full halal with a bracha. Mm-hmm. So if they recite a full halal with a bracha, that's not shira. Because according to the presentation that we're seeing now, halal with kriya, if it's a chi of kriya, that requires a bracha. But halal with Torah shira is without a bracha. Now it could be that the halal of Leil Pesach, according to that minog, comes under some sort of a different category. And then, you know, the universal rule is that the mitzvah of kriya's halal is only by day and not by night. The exception might be the Leil Pesach, which we have to understand why. It could be that the halal that we recite that's integrated into the fabric of the Seder, that's halal shel shira. And that doesn't get a separate bracha shel kitzarim v'tzosim v'tzivonu. So let's say you don't have the minhag of reciting halal on Leil Pesach. You're going to fulfill the mitzvah of shira by reciting halal integrated into the fabric of Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim. But in this case, you're not going to have a bracha. Why? Because shira doesn't get a bracha. And I suspect, Lenny, that the reason why there's no bracha on Shira is because Shira, as opposed to Kriya, is not a Dover Katsuf. Shira is an amorphous, endless entity. It's not self-contained.
You can say Shira anytime. night or day.
Yeah. Correct. And Shira could be night or day. And therefore he suggests the following. That Bechidushe Maran Griz Halevi, you see that on the fifth line, he says, Nafkamina Bazeh, Dividin Halel shall, I'm sorry, Dividin Halel shall Kriya, that's how you have to read it, right? Halel shall Kriya, Kol HaHalel Mi'akev. You're not allowed to leave out any paragraph. If you leave out any paragraph, you're not Yotze. Because Halel shel Kriya was established by the Chachamim with a beginning and an end and all the parts in the middle, and they're all critical. And he quotes a Tosefta Menachos to that effect. So when it says in the Braisa in Erchin that there are 18 days of Halel, what it's referring to is the Gansa Halel from beginning to end, and if you omit anything, you're not Yotze. Mm-hmm. That's called Amiras Kol HaHalel. Miktas Halel Lav Halel. But when we get to the Chiyuv of Halel, not as Kriya, but as Shira, here, there's no din that we need regarding this Halel that should include everything, and if you leave anything out, you're not Yotze. There's no reason to apply that yardstick to Shira. And the reason for that is because Halel on Leil Pesach is different than Halel of the Yud Ches Yomin. It's not even listed there in that price. So why? Because the Halel of Leil Pesach is Zecher L'Nes. Just 1 second. Near the Yisoda Dov, the Halel de Leil Pesachim, Shiny Mi Halel Shel Yud Ches Yomin, while Pimash Kaz Tosu, the Halel de Leil Pesach al Nes Bo. That's why he establishes that women are included in the Halel of Leil Pesach because Afein Hoyi Bo Sadness. The Yisod HaChiyuv, Yisod HaDinu Amira Shira Alanes. So when you see a category of Halel that's not obligatory on Noshim, even though, just 1 second, I made the mistake. Tosa says that the Halel of Leil HaPesach is incumbent even on Noshim. Why? Because Afein Hoyi Bo Sadness. Well, that itself indicates that you're not dealing with Halel, because Kriyas Halel is a mitzvah seish zman groma. It's generated by the zman, and women are exempt. So if you're telling me that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Halel on Leil Pesach, it must be because the Halel of Leil Pesach is not Kriya, and it's not generated by the Moed and the Yontif, but rather it's Shira. And if it's Shira, then it comes Al Hanes. Meaning, it's not because of the Moed, but it's because of the miracle. And if it's because of the miracle, then anyone who's included in that miracle is included in this mitzvah of what? Shira. You know, that's what you got to get the right word in. It's very easy to, you know, to say Halel, but Halel means Halel Shel Kriya. And women are exempt from Halel Shel Kriya because Halel Shel Kriya is generated by the Moed. You might say, well, what about the Halel of Leil Pesach? The answer is that Halel is not generated by the Moed. If it's generated by the Moed, then women are exempt because of its cessation of Groma. But the Halel of Leil Pesach is not generated by the Moed, but rather by the Nes. Yes. Ah, if it's generated by the Nes, then it doesn't fit into the category of mitzvahs, kriyas, Halel, but rather it's a Halel Shel Shira because of the Nes. And in that context, women, no less than men, are obligated in that Halel. Because Afein Hoyu also on Nes, that has no implication as far as Chanukah is concerned. Because Chanukah, we said, is a Moed. So we generate a Chiyuv of Halel on Chanukah because it's a Moed, and it's included in that Miksha Achas, that one entity of the 18 days, all of which has the common underlying denominator that the Moed itself generates the Chiyuv. Ah, if it's the Moed, then women are exempt. Hence the Rambam writes in Paragimel Hilchos Chanukah, if a woman reads Halel for you on Chanukah, you're not Yotze. She's not a Bar Chiyuva. I would have to have Afein Hoyi Bo Sadness. The answer is that Chanukah is B'toras Yontif. That's the Mechayev of Kriyas HaHalel. And women don't have Halel B'toras Yontif. It doesn't exist on their radar screen. Hence the Rambam says that a woman with regard to Halel on Chanukah is a Lav Bas Chiyuva, because she doesn't have the mitzvah that's generated by the Yontif itself, because that's in a mitzvah Seish Zman Groma. Women could be included in Shira, which is generated not by the Moed, but by the Nes, if, And when it's afhein hayu bosoimes. Jeff, did you want to?
No.
Yeah. I mean, this is a very brilliant breakthrough here. I mean, you have to see the piece of the puzzle. How many different things, you know, begin to fit into place? You have answers to so many different questions.
Also, it says here, you've got to say the whole of it. But
it comes from
Moed,
you guys
say the whole
Holocaust. Correct. Torah's Moed, it's a mitzvah Kriya, and Kriya requires the whole Holocaust with a bracha.
So maybe that's also on Leo Pesach, we say only half Holocaust beginning, have an interruption.
Maybe the reason why we have a right to interrupt it with parts of the Magid, and not only that, we can sue them between. Is because we're talking about Shira. So Shira can be piecemeal. You know, it can start the beginning of the Shira at one point and end the Shira at the other. There's no set, it's like an amorphous whole. It doesn't have a beginning and an end, and it's not well defined. Excellent. Excellent. So Bosai, there's a lot more here, and I'm wondering if we want to spend a little bit of time on the Pachad Yitzchak. So let's put this on the side for a minute. I just want to get my papers organized. And you'll have to tell me in this package here what you have. And I'll tell you what you need. You'll tell me if you have it. Is there inyan hay and inyan vav? That would mean mem. Tell me which of these pages you have.
Mem.
Mem.
Mem aleph, yes.
And mem aleph. And then we have mem beis and mem gimel.
Mem beis, mem gimel, I don't have.
Do you have mem beis and mem gimel there in that package?
And mem gimel, yeah.
Okay, that's
inyan vav.
That's good. What do you have? I have mem aleph, but nothing in that package.
So again, I'm not promising you that I have enough, you know, I have all the copies for you, but let's see if we can maximize whatever we have. And Jeff, do me a favor, if there are any extra copies of what you photocopied, then let's put it over here.
Okay.
Because what I find is that, you know, it's always good to have those copies. Like, for example, here we have that. So Bosai, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to try to summarize as you watch the text in front of you, just to save myself and yourself too the cumbersome task of reading the whole text together. Inyan Vav, and that starts on page Mem Beis, and then Belinetta will try to go backwards to Inyan He. The Rosh Yeshiva here, Pachad Yitzchak, says that he was asked the question at the Sudas Purim. Why is it that we recite on Purim, it's been accepted in all of the Ashkenazi communities at least, as the Pizmon of Purim, Shoshanas Yaakov? In Shoshanas Yaakov, oddly enough, we speak about the fact that, if someone could open up a siddur, but we speak about the fact that Baruch Mardechai, right, how do you say Baruch Mordechai HaYehudi Or Haman Asher Bikesh Li'Avdi, right? That's more or less what you'll find there. When the Gemara says that at Esudas Purim, the ultimate is Adalo Yada. You know, you get drunk until you don't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Or Haman. And yet the entire theme of Shoshanas Yaakov is Baruch Mordechai and Or Haman. I think it says there, Brucha Esther Ba'adi also. And Gam Charbonah Zachar L'Tov. Very intelligent question. I mean, you know, the Pizmon, what is the epitome, or the, shall I say, the ultimate agenda, the ultimate achievement of Purim? What are we trying to get to? And we have now a stira, because the very Pizmon which we accepted, Klal Yisrael accepted in all Ashkenazi communities as reflecting the essence of the day, which is Shoshanas Yaakov, emphasizes that you know, Baruch Mordechai and Or Haman. And yet the Gemara says that the ultimate pinnacle, the ultimate agenda, and the full-fledged fulfillment of Purim is Ad Lo Yada Ben Or Mordechai. I'm sorry. I was just testing you to see. Ad Lo Yada Ben Baruch Haman Or Mordechai, right? So it's a very interesting question. But if you're familiar with the style of the Pachad Yitzchak, he always asks a question and then he puts it in the back burners and he goes off until he makes the whole sivuv to come back. So put this question somewhere in memory, store it in memory. Okay. On page Mem Gimel, he presents the following thesis. Now, I'm sure pedagogically how I want to do this. Let's see if this works. You know, sometimes I want to, in order to show you what a big chiddush is, I try to evoke from you your intuitive answer to a question and then show you that it's wrong. You know what I'm saying? So that's just a pedagogical tool. So I'm going to ask you for your intuitive answer to this question. If I show you two things, two objects, and I prove to you that they are identical twins, that they're two things that are, or two people that are absolutely the same, meaning that the similarity is striking. And then I ask you the following question: that all is on the outside. In other words, because you know, I show you two pictures of two people or two objects, and you say, "Wow, they're amazingly similar." What about Bipnimius? In terms of the depth below the surface, does the fact that they are similar on the outside indicate that they're similar on the inside? What would be your... No. Okay, so you didn't fall into my trap. Because I was hoping you would say, well, if they're similar on the outside, then they're probably similar on the inside. Does anybody have a raya that's not so? That on the contrary, the similarity on the outside, the externality, indicates that they're absolutely, fundamentally different on the inside. Can you prove that to me? Twins, because they have different personalities. That's good. But you know what? I would think, I mean, I'm not a great fan of astrology, you know, but they have this whole thing about the stars, you know, what month you were born in and all that. I would think if the two boys, or whatever they are, boy and a girl, two girls, were born within minutes of each other, then based on astrology, at least, they should be absolutely similar. You know, they have the same, also in terms of not just nature, but nurture, they were brought up in the same family. Then ostensibly, if the parents did a good job, then both children should have the same midos tovos, hopefully. So the proof is from the Shnei HaSeirim of Yom HaKippur. And the Gemara tells us, I'll read to you the language of the Gemara, that when there's a certain person who's in charge, he's like designated by the Beis HaMikdash to go out and buy and purchase two Seirim, two goats, for the avoda of what's called a goral. And the halacha says in Yuma Daf Samach Beis that Shnei HaSeirim Yushavim B'Koma B'Mare U'B'Domin. Now take the last one, the Domin. You know, they're two goats that look alike, they have the same appearance, they have the same size, they both you know, reach the same Koma, and they look alike. That okay, but Vidamin means that the price that you have to pay for both of these goats has to be identical. So this man who's representing the Beis HaMikdash, he's going out there and he's trying to purchase on the behalf of the Mikdash two Seirim for the Goral. He's got to work hard on the financier and make sure that both of them are worth the same exact price. I mean, that's a tall order. And basically, His askus, his very energy, is on hashva'ah. Hashva'ah meaning dimyon, to find two things that are similar. But as the Rosh Yeshiva points out, there cannot be two things that are more dissimilar, that are opposites of each other, diametrically opposed to each other, than the two seir. Because after the Goro, what happens to one?
Lashem.
And the other goes Lazazel. The Ramban in his commentary on Vayikra has a whole discussion what means Hazazel, and it has to do with sorrow shall Esau. I mean, it's it's all mystical beyond our comprehension. But there are no two things that are more strikingly polar opposites of each other than the two seir. So it's a funny kind of thing, because on chitzonius, on the outside, they're shomim v'komim v'mara v'damim, and they look like two identical goats. You can't even tell the difference between one and the other, just so the gongol is going to put one is right, one is left, pull out the goral, and this one goes Hashem, this gongol goes Azazel. So the Pakad Yitzchok sees in this parsha of Avodas Haseirim, Shnei Haseirim B'Yom HaKippurim, a paradigm for all of existence, all of reality. That the more similar two things are, the more they are separated in pnimius, kitahom, like eternal. There's an eternal gap, an infinite gap between the two. So if you're looking on page Mem Gimel, and you have a photocopy of that page, so you could underline the following words. He says the following. He says that Shnei Yonim Domim Bechitzon Yoseihem, which you'll see on the top line, is a Hevdel. The difference between them is Bipni Miyosam in the second line, below the surface. And he goes on to say that he says on the fifth line down, he says, B'chol Sugi Avdola, if you're looking for types of contrast, Hanim Tzoyim B'Torah, Ein Limtzal Avdola Yoser Gedola Me'asher Avdola B'Gorolos B'Yom HaKippurim Gorol Echad Hashem B'Gorol HaZazel. The greatest Avdola of contrast in the whole Torah is the difference between these two Seirim. One is Lashem and one is Lazazah. Abel Dafka Bekan, if you can fast forward a few lines, he says, B'makam Avdullah, it's a total, absolute Avdullah and a conscious between the two, we find Ashva, a similarity, an equation between the two, Mole, complete, Bedigduk, in very meticulous detail. And the halacha is that these two seirim, one Lashem, one Lazazel, have to be shoven, bekoma, bemara, bedomim. And the person who's gone, you know, selected to find these two seirim, he is omed, even on the mechir, he has to find out exactly what the price of each one of these goats is, and in order to make sure that they're absolutely identical, bedomim. So here he is, dedicating himself with the greatest of energies to the Avod of Hashva and Dimui, and yet, right after the Agrola, lo and behold, there cannot be more of a difference between these two Seirim. Because below the surface, one is exactly Hafuch from the other, the two opposites. And therefore he summarizes that by saying it in the last two and a half lines, he says, Lefi Godel HaRibui Shalat, the greater that you have on the outside externally of the similarity is lumatzot, when you get to the previous mimamakim, the omek is avdolas hagrola, there can be no greater avdolah than that. So it's an unbelievable. On the external level of chitzonius, we have an absolute equation, they're identical in every single way, even as far as the mechir. But on a deeper level, in terms of the agrola, they are so different than each other. They're worlds apart. One is Hashem, and one is Lazazel.
Okay, that's once you assign the agrola. But at the top of the page there, he says that, in a general statement, the two things that are very similar on the outside must be equally as dissimilar on the inside. Why does he say that?
Because he sees in the parsha the shtei seirim that dafka, because of the similarity, that's why we separate the two. In other words, you could not have this havdalah of one Lashem and one Lazazel unless you had an absolute equation. So you and I would buy two goats. You know, let's say your favorite goat is that goat and mine is this goat. They look totally different. Yours is black with white spots and mine is white with black spots. Yours is 2 meters high, and mine is 1 meter high. Yours cost 1,000, mine cost 500. Well, what the heck? Well, let's take both of them. You know, let's do it. No. In order to generate a goral, what you need is an absolute identity. When they're identical, now we're ready to separate them in pnimius. But until you achieve that goal of their being identical, you cannot be mavdil them. Again, it might be Abdullah, but it won't be the Abdul.
But it seems arbitrary. Would you say that now that you've got these two that are so dissimilar in the chitzoniut, would you say that, oh, that must mean in their pnimiut they're identical?
I don't think so.
No, that would sound
right.
Absurd.
I don't think so. Right.
Why is this any? I mean, once you assign them, then you have done that.
But in order to assign them, what you need is that they be identical. The whole process of assigning them and making them so different is because they're so similar. The whole power and the force of Hagrola is because they're exactly identical. Now Hagrola steps in and says, okay, they're two identical. I'm going to now divide them and choose one here, Lashem, one here, Lasoza.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a pretty profound idea. You know, this has philosophical implication. He's not interested in philosophy per se, but you know, I'd love to pass this on to a philosopher and see what he would do with it. You know, but let's see how this can help us with our understanding of Purim and specifically the Avodah of Purim. Okay. Now, in order to move on, we need a pasuk in Bereishis Chaf Zayin, and the pasuk says, "Esha Esav Ish Sa'ir." In other words, he's a hairy person, but the word Sa'ir is reminiscent of what parasha, Rabosai? Yeah. The Shnei Asa'irim. In fact, Chazal over and over again compare and connect the parasha of Esav with the parasha of the Shnei Asa'irim. Now, we have two brothers, Esav and Yaakov. Now, these brothers are twins. And they couldn't be more dissimilar. Meaning, on one level, the Torah is going to compare them. I mean, to such an extent that the love of Yitzchak for Esau is going to be as great as his love for Yaakov, if not even greater. But you see that there's a certain, I don't want to use the word confusion, but a certain similarity between Yaakov and Esau on one level. And although Yaakov might not have been as hairy as his brother Esau, but nevertheless, he was a twin. I guess he wasn't identical, but he had certain similarity. He says that the Havdalah bein the Sa'ir, in this case Esau, who bein Achiv, which is Yaakov, is choder, it penetrates down to the most profound level that there possibly could be. So that even if you'll tell me, you'll argue that there's a dimyon and we want to compare the two, and on one level of chitzonius, Esav and Yaakov are twins, and there is a certain shivyon, but nevertheless below the surface, there couldn't be a more profound havdalah than there is between Yaakov and Esav. And to demonstrate this or embellish this, he quotes a pasuk in Malachi at the end of Tanakh, and it says, "Hallo, Ach Esav LiYaakov." Now it's interesting. The pasuk starts in the Reisha with Ach. The idea of an Ach means two people that have a similarity. Two brothers are similar. How much more so in the case of twins? And then it says at the end of the pasuk, "V'ahev es Yaakov." I, says God, love Yaakov. V'es Esav sanesi, and I despise Esav. So there cannot be two people that are more dissimilar in pnimius than these two. One is beloved in the eyes of God, and the other is despicable in the eyes of God. So that's what he calls the tahom of Havdalah. Now, I don't know how to translate the word tahom. I mean, I know what it means, but what's the English translation? When you have a hole that goes all the way down to the core of the earth. What's that called?
Death.
All right, whatever it is. There should be a word for it. I don't have... You know, if Yechiel was here, he would calculate it on the computer within seconds.
The core.
The core. Okay.
No, the core is where you get those things.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, the division and the dissimilarity, as we say, the conscience between Esau and Yaakov couldn't be more Tahomi. You know, as it goes down and slices to the core of the earth.
Abysmal.
Abysmal? Okay, we'll try this. We'll try that. I mean, it sounds like a medication for the stomach. I don't know, but anyway, just joking with you.
Pepto-Bismol,
right. So in any event, we see here that the pasuk goes out of its way to call Yaakov and Esav Achim, their brothers, and then God says, I declare my love for Yaakov, and my my hatred for Esau. And we see this also in the case of the relationship that Yitzhak has to his two sons, Esau and Yaakov. And on the one hand, the Torah speaks about the love of Yitzhak for Esau. So there's a real confusion over here, because as far as the two brothers is concerned, but previous, they're so different, but yet we find that in the parasha went out of its way to see the similarity between the two. And the greatest hashva'ah, he says, is the fact that Esau is similar to Yaakov in the ava of Beis Ava, meaning the ava of Yitzchak. And on the contrary, in the same parsha that describes the love for Esau, we see the havdalat tohumit, again that same phrase on the top of Mendalit, the difference between the conscious between the two, in terms of the brachos that Yitzchak bestows upon them. There's no greater Avdullah, because when it comes to the brachos of Avram, the brachos of Eretz Yisrael, those brachos are dedicated to whom? To Yaakov. And Esau will get other brachos, but they're totally different. So again, within the same context, in the same parasha, you see the similarity and the difference. Esau is beloved in the eyes of Yitzchak, no less than Yaakov, and maybe even more. And yet, in the context of this similarity, we have the Havdolah Tahomis between the Berchos of Avavah, and it's almost Galgil because of the Ashva. Yaakov comes in to take the brachas, and he looks like, and he appears to be like Esau. And this whole confusion here between Yaakov and Esau is going to be the background, the framework within which we generate the greatest dissimilarity and conscious when the brachos are given one set of brachos to Yaakov and a totally radically antithetical difference in the brachos to Esau. Like, for example, he doesn't mention it here, but Chazal say that Yaakov got the brachos of Olam Haba and Esau got the brachos of Olam Hazeh. I mean, the two worlds apart. And Dafka mitoch, within this ambiguous similarity between Yaakov and Esau and Yitzchak's love, and then one comes in and one comes out and all that, that's where we get the brachos, which are so radically different one from the other. And now he says, let's look at the Avodas Hayom of Mechias Zaro Shel Esau, meaning if there's one day out of the entire Hebrew calendar that's dedicated to Mechias Zaro Shel Esau, that Avodah, then it's the day of Purim. And let's look at the day of Purim. Hine, Yenovavah, Chovas Abisum, the obligation to get drunk, to get intoxicated, Adilo Yada. What does that indicate, Rabosa? Is that similarity or dissimilarity? Similarity. But again, similarity is only what? The chitzonius. In other words, we can only achieve our goal of dissimilarity if we first achieve similarity. Do you hear the brilliant chap over here? If we don't get to Adlo Yoda, we don't have a chance to appreciate Shoshanas Yaakov. The ultimate Shoshanas Yaakov, which separates Haman and Mordechai by a tahom, is comes mitoch hashva, because lo yada bein or haman vod. Choshem anachlu shi bisum zeh. We think that how do we accomplish the goal of the day? It's by Adalo Yada. He says we're making a big mistake. The Adalo Yada is only a necessary precondition. It's the introduction that's absolutely necessary. It's like you can't take math, the advanced course of math until you fulfill the prerequisites of the basic course of math. So you can't get to the point in which you see the difference between Haman and Mordechai unless you first get to the point where there's a similarity. He says, "Biyom mechiyoso shel zaro shel Esau, hare hashal heves." He gives some poetic description here that there's a flame that is burning in below havaya, and that's the shel heves, which is the ultimate goal of Purim, of the Avdolah between Yaakov and Esau. So we said before that on previous, Yaakov and Esau are totally totally opposite. So Yaakov is beloved in the eyes of God. Esav is despised in the eyes. Yaakov receives the brachas of Olam Haba and Esav Olam Hazeh. Ein hashalheves hazu dolekes yofer ela kshiniachezes betzem ha'dimyon v'omek ha'shivyon. Right? So we can only get to the agrol of soil Hashem soil gosel after we have the dimyon between the two. So now if you want to talk about the tremendous difference between Yaakov and Esav, first the parasha has to thrust you into the dimyon between the two. They're two brothers, they're twins, they have equal love from their father. You know, they both go in to get brachas. I mean, there's so much similarity here. But that is a necessary precursor or the first stage in achieving an appreciation of the avdala between the two. And therefore, let's take the example of the person who goes out to purchase the two se'irim. And he has to work very hard to make sure that the value of the two se'irim is identical. That they look the same, they're the same height. All this is what we call Adlo Yoda. What does Adlo Yoda mean? He doesn't know the difference between one seer and the other because they're both identical. And the Adlo Yoda is a precondition to the Agrola, which ultimately means the Hevdel Tahomi between this seer, which is Lashem, and this seer, which is Lazazel. I'm always tempted to say, after I say Lashem, to say Lahavdil, Lazazel. And that's what he calls the Avdolah Tahomit. He says, if this be the case, we understand the method, the step-by-step avoda of Yom HaPurim, because Yom HaPurim is Kid, Yom HaKippurim is Kippurim, that there's also two Se'irim, so to speak, on Purim. And how do we get to the point, like the person who's in charge of purchasing and acquiring the two Se'irim, what we call the Adlo Yoda? We have on Purim, again, the Adlo Yoda. What we have to do is, we have to have Ashva between the Arur and the Baruch. And then, when we have the Ashva, and we have the Adlo Yoda, then we're ready for the next stage, and that is to take the Arur and send him Lazazel, and take the Baruch and bring him Lashem. And that we achieve and experience in the Shoshanis Yaakov. That ultimately, after we get drunk, we realize, even in that state of intoxication, of Adlo Yoda, maybe it takes a little bit of sobering up, but we have to get to the point in which we understand that that the Arur is going to go Lazazel, and that's Haman. He's despicable in the eyes of God, and Mordechai is the Ahuv. He's the one that Hashem loves. He is the Soil Hashem. V'nidbakim anu behaganas schuso shel yitzhak avinu shel yotza chalila mechshol me'avodahas amesukere shel hashva. You know, you might say, well, there's a critique here on Yitzhak, because Yitzhak seems to have love for both of his sons, and that's a very precarious situation to make an equation between the two. But the answer is, there's nothing bad is going to come out of that, because as a result of that Ava for Esav, all the brachas, the Gilgal of the brachas of the brachas that would have gone to Esav and now go to Yaakov, all that is a result of the Hashva. It's a result of that equation, that similarity, that lowest common denominator of the Ava to Esav. And therefore, he says in paragraph number 7, "I efshalonu lechos ba b'shum zman achim elbad sudas purim." He says that this Adlo Yoda is such a dangerous enterprise. When you take two things that are worlds apart and you equate them and you find the similarity, that's a very dangerous enterprise. And we're only going to allow it once a year, and that's at the Sudas Purim. Why? Because the Pasuk says in Megillas Esther, and this is Esther Perek Aleph, which has to do with the celebration, the banquets of Achashverosh at the beginning of the Megillah. It says Tov on the seventh day. It was Tov Lev Hamelech Biayin. You remember that? Tov Lev Hamelech Biayin. Or Kid Tov Lev. And that Melech, according to the Gra, and he has, I think, a Medrash, if I remember correctly, that's an allusion to the Malko Shel Olam. And the Tov Lev Hamelech Biayin is going to give us the whole ambiance of the Sudas Purim, that it means the Malko Shel Olam is is kaviyochel betov lev biyayin. And what that means is that he, with a capital H, is the source of Havdalah to separate Yisrael from the Amen. And if Tov Lev HaMelech B'Yayin represents our Avodah at the Sudas Purim, then we're guaranteed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his Tov Lev situation, in his Ki'ilu mood of Havdalah, is going to guarantee that we can separate between and contrast between Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam. And therefore he concludes in number Ches, which is on page Mem Hey, Hainu Shen Iskabel Pizmon Shel Shas Yakel Pizmon Shel Simchas Purim Arur Haman Asher Bikesh Liabdi Baruch Mordechai Yehudi. That represents the stage of Hagrola. Hagrola means we take the two Seirim, they look Adelo Yoda, they look identical. But now the Hagrola decides and establishes that this year goes Lachutz, send him to Azazel. The other one is going Lefnim, to Kedusha, to the Beis HaMikdash, it's the Soil Hashem. But he Efshal Hagrola, but that Hagrola becomes impossible, Ki Im Mitoch Shivyon Shnei HaSeirim, unless you have an exact identity between the two Seirim, HaMiskayim, the Avodas HaBisus, by getting intoxicated of Adelo Yoda Ben Ora Uben Baruch. But ultimately, our goal and our avoda culminates with Shoshanas Yaakov to all of us. It's a pretty impressive piece. I mean, again, you have to decide whether you buy into it, but if you do buy into it, it really does shed a whole other light on what Purim is all about.
So apparent similarity comes out to be an illusion.
Right.
And the challenge to see the differences, because there can't be a complete identity.
Right. And the complete identity is the precondition for the disparaging, or for the contrast between the two. It's only when two things are exactly identical, at that point you know that that's just a trick of the eye of Chitzonius, but as a result, you're going to find out B'Pnimius that Havdalah Tovit, as we spoke about before. Now I see on the clock we have a few minutes left. Let's go back to Inyan Hay. I'm pretty exhausted now. Again, this is just the last half of a class of a long week for me, but at least we'll make a Haskalah here on page Mem. Do you have it?
Mem.
There's a very strange Rambam. It's probably the most difficult Rambam in all of Mishneh Torah. And the Rambam writes that Kol Sifrei Tanakh Asidim Lihibatel Chutz Mi Mikra Megillah. This is in the second parak of Hilchos Megillah, Halacha Yud Ches. Nobody knows what's going on. How can it be that, you know, we have one of the principles of our faith is that the Torah is never batel, it's eternal. And yet the Rambam says, Kol HaSifrei HaTanach HaSidim LiBatel Chutz Mi Mikra Megillah. We have to give it some meaning. So as I've told you many, many times, if you learn the Pakad Yitzchak, what you have to train your mind to take a question and put it in the, you know, in storage, you know, in abeyance, because he goes on to a totally different topic until he can swing back and explain and shed a light on the Rambam. In the Parsha of Yaakov and Esav, there's one key word which perhaps is a secret code word that has to be understood. And in the Parsha of Megillas Esther, there's another code word, a different one, that appears over and over again that has to be understood. It's a code word. Let's begin with the Parsha of the Bechora, in which Yaakov, after he's approached by Esav to give him the Nezir HaDoshim, agrees on the condition of, quote, Nichra Kayom Es Bechoroscha Li. And that Pasuk is in Breishis Chaf Hei Pasuk Lamed Al. We're going to emphasize one word here that seems to be totally superfluous, but yet contains the key to unlock the whole parasha, and that's the word kayom. The Rashiva admits that there are many, many interpretations of the word kayom. maybe we could mention just one. That was the day in which Avraham Avinu died, and Esau was nowhere to be found to participate in his grandfather's Leviah. But on a level of pshat, what is Kayom all about? In order to understand the significance of the word Kayom, we have to read another pasuk, which is also in the context of Yitzchak and Esau, of Yaakov and Esau. You may remember that there was a meeting, an encounter between Esau and Yaakov in Parshas Vayishlach, in Bereishis Lamed and Gimel. And at the end of that entire encounter, which apparently, at least on the surface, Esau kissed his brother Yaakov, Esav approaches Yaakov and he says, "Join me, come with me, Seira, to Seir." That's where Esav was located. Some say it's Saudi Arabia today, I don't know. And Yaakov's response is the following: "I'm busy, you know, I'm burdened with my children and my possessions and so forth and so on. Ad avo el Adoni Seir. I will join you there in Seir." Now you have to understand that Yaakov Avinu personifies which midah?
Emes.
And therefore Chazal understood that there's got to be an answer to this enigma. Yaakov at some point is going to have to fulfill his promise. We don't see anywhere that he ever actually lives up and he says, you know what, when things quiet down, I'll join you, I'll visit you in your home. And therefore, Esav is perplexed here because, you know, Yaakov is saying something and he's not living up to his promise. So on one level, which is a more, let's say, concealed and profound level below the surface, Yaakov, in fact, will fulfill this commitment. And that's going to happen, Be'achris Hayomim. A pasuk in Avadya, it says, "V'olo Moshiim lishpot eshar Esav." Do you remember that pasuk? And that's going to be when Yaakov and his descendants will come to judge, so to speak, Seir, and they will destroy Yaakov Avinu. Now, Esav is kind of cynical. He thinks that when Yaakov speaks about something, he's talking in a different language. Yaakov exists in the framework of Achris Hayonim, of a future down the line. And now Esav feels that if Yaakov is speaking that language, why can't I speak the same language? You want me to sell you my Bechora? So Esav says, you know what, I agree, I'll sell you my Bechora. But between the lines, he's saying, you know, just like you promised me that you would come to Seir and you never lived up to the promise, I'm going to tell you're not going to sell you the Bechora. Come to me at the end of time, at the time of Achris Hayomim, and I'll sell you the Bechora. So Yaakov needed Lafuke. He had to add a word that would absolutely clarify in Esav's language, in Esav's mindset, that the Bechorah that's being sold is right now. And therefore he adds what word?
Kayom.
That the word Kayom means in the language of Esav, because Esav lives in the world of Kayom. This is not like Yaakov of you. Yaakov speaks a different language. Because Yaakov doesn't live in the moment now. Yaakov lives in the moment of Achris Hayomim, in the future, in his eschatological perspective or vision. But Esav gets Olam Hazeh. And therefore, in Olam Hazeh, everything of Kayom is the perspective of Olam Hazeh. If I say to you Hayom, it means today. If I want something today, I want it today. So Yaakov adds this extra word to tell Esav, I'm going to speak your language. I want you to know without any question, with all the clarity and certainty, that you're selling me the Bechorah today. And don't tell me that I'm talking in my language, which would mean, you know, future in the Achris Hayom. Now, as I told you at the outset, just like the word Kayom is a code word for you know, the worldview of Esav in the parasha of the Bechorah, there's also a key word in the Megillah that appears over and over again. The Pagan Yitzchak quotes only one pasuk, but there are many, many other pasukim. We can do a word search with a computer. And the word that repeats itself throughout the Megillah is machar. Do you hear the contrast? Before we were talking about kayom, now we're talking about machar. And the Pnei Yoshua gives, I'm sorry, the Pagan Yitzchak gives two examples. And both of them are related to Amalek. One pasuk is in the Parsha Bashalach, it says, Say vilachem be'amolek machar.
Say be'him on
it says, what does it say if somebody could just open
machar
up?
Machar nochi nitzav al rosh
ha'givah. Machar nitzav al rosh ha'givah. So if you can open up to Shmos Yud Zayin pasuk Tes, which is at the end of Bashalach, you'll see the word machar. So Hashem says, go battle against Amalek and I'll be with you machar. Then in Esther in Perkei, it says, Lemachar ani karu la imamelech. Okay, and that is a statement that comes out of the mouth of Haman. That Haman is boasting about the fact that tomorrow I'm called by her, by the queen, with the king. Now the Gemara tells us in Masechta Yuma on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis that the word machar is one of those words in the Torah she'ein la hechrea. Ein la hechrea means it has two meanings, and we always have to work hard to understand what that word means. So he says the following: the Maral, which you'll see four lines below the end of page Mem Aleph, writes that this is Mapola of Amalek. It's Lamachar. What does Lamachar mean? Lamachar means that at the end of days, you, Amalek, you, Haman, will be totally destroyed. Correct? And that was, if you remember, the first piece that we learned in the Pachad Yitzchok from Purim. Reishis Goyim Amalek, Vachriso Adeoved. So the Achris is going to be the total Mapola of Amalek, the total destruction. That is hinted by the word Lamachar. In the parasha of Amalek, the word Lamachar is going to repeat itself over and over again. Haman is going to say Amalek and so forth and so on. He quotes now a pasuk in Shmuel, where David goes ahead and he fights against Amalek, and there also it says Lamachras. Okay, I don't have that pasuk in front of me right now. Oh, here it is. Shmuel Aleph Perek Lamed, pasuk Yud Zayin. It says that he called David as Amalek Lemachras. Again, the word Lemachras. So Lemachras here means a different concept of Lemachras. You know, it's not what you would say tomorrow, which means manana, which means, you know, in 24 hours from now. This word Lemachar means Bayomahu, you know, on that day when Hashem will establish the Achris Hayom. And that's the Lemachar of Amalek. So in other words, Amalek, as the descendant of Esav, lives in Kayom. But we live in a destructive mood for Amalek, but that's Lamachar. Sevi Lachim v'Amalek means Lamachar. And in Sefer Shmuel, David is going to find Lamachar. And everything about Haman is Lamachar. Why? Because the destruction is Lamachar, which means at the time of the Achris Hayom. And now the Rosh Yeshiva swings back to his original question, which you'll see here on page Mem Beis. B'shar she'biksha Esther al sofes yom shel mechias Amalek v'shushan ha'ir lo biksha ela she'yeh gam machar kidas hayom. Why? Because be'etzem b'tchumei hayom hazeh greida i'efshalah. She knew that within the context of hayom, there's no way that she could destroy Amalek. The destruction of Amalek requires a tziruf of lemachar, meaning the end of days. And therefore we could swing around to what we started with, that all of the svarim will be bottled except for of Megillus Esther, because the whole essence of Megillus Esther is lemachar, machar kedas hayom. So therefore in Achris Hayomim, why is Megillus Esther so beloved to us? Because the whole the whole point of and pivotal point of Megillus Esther is the mahalach of not Hayom, but rather the mahalach of Machar, of the destruction of Amalek at the end of time. And Yiratzon, we're going to daven mincha now, but Yiratzon, we should be zocher mitz Hashem to see in the Hayom the Lamachar, and we'll have the destruction of Amalek, the Akris Hayom, the Nehir of Yomeinu. Amen.